better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title, the Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
There's been so much news, so much different breaking stuff, Tommy. It's hard to keep track of some of this stuff, man.
I'm telling you, and it's just we're going to get through this together. You out there listening, and Ty and I in here talking, but man, I mean, it's just hard to wrap your mind around what is going on, because none of us have ever seen or dealt with anything of this nature. We've had tragedies, we've had terrorist attacks, we've had things happen in parts of our country. Most of it, in fact, other than natural disasters, none of it really ever happens here in our backyards, fortunately. But this is something that's not just affecting everyone in your community, my community, all of our communities here in our state, but this is affecting the whole country and the whole, you know, global community, if you will, for lack of a better phrase.
Mm-hmm.
This is uncharted territory. And you may not agree, and I don't agree with all the decisions that have been made, and particularly the ones involving sports, but we have to come to terms that, Ty, this is bigger than sports. But, I mean, when we've gone through something of a tragedy or a disaster or something in the past, we're programmed to think about sports, and that's kind of what gets our minds off of things. Sports are what we go back to as community. Well, there aren't any sports right now. And I don't even think the reality of that has even set in, bud.
Has fully set in yet, yeah, because you think about, like, when we have an election years, which happens to be what we're going through right now, you'll have people who just want to get away from that side of things and get to sports. And whether it's a natural disaster or something like this that's happening, you typically escape to sports. But that avenue is currently not open right now for the foreseeable future. Now, I know the SEC has suspended certain stuff, but it's going to be, I think, quite some time before we see anything. March 30th is the deadline, where they'll reassess, and I just can't see them starting up stuff on April 1st or 31st or, like, right after that. But we'll see. Obviously, you got to be more hopeful. You got to be a glass half full guy at this point rather than a glass half empty. But there's no – I don't know if there's – Tommy, if there's necessarily a – you can't point to this is when we'll start back up, because we just don't know at this point in time.
Any guess would be just that, a guess.
Correct.
I mean, if I said, well, we'll play college baseball in April, I don't think so. You know, I don't know. I mean, how could you know? I mean, it seems like everything, the parameters and the information we have – right now, it's changing so fast, it's hard to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I mean, I think there is a reaction with because of the overabundance of fear right now. Because fear is driven by uncertainty. We're just not certain about anything. So we're all fearful of what's going to happen to our businesses, what's going to happen to our economy, what's going to happen to our customer bases. Are our kids safe at school? I mean, that probably should be the first thing we're worried about right now. Is our family safe? You know, there's so many things right now that I know I'm worried about. I'm worried about my kids going to school today. One's staying home because he's got like a stomach bug. The other one, she's going to school, and I can't sit here and tell you I'm 100% okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and Laura were talking about it last night. I think, you know, it's just what we think. We think that they probably won't go to school all of next week, and then there's spring break. And then, you know, here's the other thing, that you got spring break, and for the people that still go on whatever trip they're on, you don't know where they've been, what they've come in contact with. That's not their fault, but let's face it, if you go to Mexico for a spring break trip, what might you come in contact with?
Correct, yeah.
You know, and then you got that to deal with on the back end of spring break. So, I mean, just things like that are, I think, on not just my mind, your mind, all of our minds, as parents, as business operators, as employees of business, as family members of people that that work in businesses and they get paid by the hour and their hours are getting cut and there's reductions, and it's just scary right now.
Yeah, it is. No, absolutely right. Tommy, it is a Fast Break Friday presented by Harry Robson Buick GMC.
And Harry's still there for you. Same great deals going on right now. They want you to be safe and come by and see them. 2020 GMC Sierra Crew Cabs, $14,000 off the retail price. 2020 GMC Terrain's on sale at $21,999. It's all at Harry Robinson Buick GMC, exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith.
Let's get in some quick hitting headlines. The U of A is going to online classes the rest of the semester. They just announced that. And, Tommy, you were speaking to Spring Break. My cousin goes to the University of Texas. I know, stick a knife in me, but she does enjoy it down there. Her brother went to Baylor, and she ultimately decided to be a Longhorn. But her Spring Break to San Diego has been canceled. Mm-hmm. And then also her overseas studying, where she studied her tail off this past semester and the semester before to get a scholarship to go to Oxford in England, that has also been canceled as well. So there's a lot of people that, as far as traveling goes, they're whether it's just the trips, they're whether it's work for pleasure, whatever, they've been cut short.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't seen, you know, whether it's state government, school districts, universities, even corporate world. I mean, all travel that's totally unnecessary is been suspended right now. So no one's sending anybody on airplanes and on work trips right now. And hopefully that'll help stop the spread of some of this, you know, quicker rather than later.
Despite Arkansas being the highest seed to win an SEC tournament game and finishing undefeated, Kentucky was awarded the lead's automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. I still hold the belief that if Arkansas would have played, they would have won it all, Tommy.
Well, and you know, we'll talk about this. I know we're going to get to it. You know, you think about some of the players we may have seen for the last time,
mm-hmm.
not just in basketball, but baseball as well. So yeah. I mean, there's probably more uncertainty about baseball because we know what's happening with basketball. It's done. You know, the question is, will some of these players get to play again? But, you know, I'm sure for you who was in Nashville, what a surreal, unreal scene you were watching unfold there as you were in Nashville.
Yeah, and there's a bunch that we have to dive into as far as that goes. When the players just all of a sudden their last games are just ripped away from them and without them participating. Because it's always like the win-loss scenarios. Hey, if we win, we stay. If we lose, we go home. Well, they won. And yet, they no longer get to play. So that's going to be a tough pill to swallow. So the NBA, the NHL, and the MLS have suspended their ongoing seasons, and the NFL and MLB have suspended their off-season activities as well. Tommy, that the point of this is they haven't canceled some of the stuff yet, but they have suspended it.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Welcome to the most incredible 2 hours of your life. Here he is. The Clay Henry.
Clay, good morning, man. I know you've been listening to us since about 6:30 this morning. Your initial thoughts, your initial reactions to what's happened as of late?
Yeah, it's just, I wrote something yesterday, you know, Hog Sports, where it's just surreal. I mean, it's like a movie when you watch it and you're like, well, that's so bizarre. I don't really want to watch it anymore and I'm going to turn it off. Except we can't turn it off. It is our life. It's not a movie. And it is surreal. And it is crazy. And it's like nothing that any of us have ever seen or ever thought about, probably. Healthcare people may have thought about it because they're forced to, you know, plan for worst case scenario. And it's, our country is built on freedoms, and it's like all of that is going away. you know, we're told to stay away from crowds, stay home if you can. I'm going to work at home. That's my mission. That's what my company wants me to do. I talked to Dudley yesterday, work at home, and but what do we write?
Yeah.
We're sports writers. There is no sport. We can talk about sport, which that's what we're going to do. And I'll write commentaries. I can interview people on the phone. There's going to be a challenge to do that, but it's doable, and that's how I'll go forward. But it is the most bizarre, surreal thing that you could ever imagine in what, is my job in my life.
Yesterday we were out of trash bags at the house. So I had to go to Sam's and get trash bags. And if you're parking out by the gas pumps, there either must be a snowstorm or it's Christmas time. Because in the middle of the day on a Thursday, you couldn't get into the doors. And I just needed trash bags. But people were buying, there hadn't been toilet paper or paper towels for days now, for whatever reason. But people were buying the canned goods up and buying up, stuff. Because we're all gripped with this fear right now, this panic, this fear of uncertainty. And it just makes you wonder, is this a day or two or three? But then we're hearing, I believe the news is going to get worse before it gets better. I mean, to me, it's just, guys, it's amazing what's just going on, not just sports, but in society right now. When on a Thursday afternoon, people are fighting over canned asparagus, and I don't like asparagus that much.
No, it's not, but it's whatever you can get.
I mean, that's where
I understand
it.
Yeah, it's, it makes you, check your whole cards, like what kind of health are you in? That's what I ask. I'm 65, Tommy, be 66 in June, and I'm in that little range that they're, talking about, that if you're over 65, that's what they keep saying, and that you're at risk. So you just, what kind of health are you? Well, I think I'm in pretty good health, but I'm not in great health. I'm overweight. So, my wife's in great health. She goes to the gym every day. She's I married young, so she's a little younger than me. but she helps me to calm me down when I get to thinking those ways. And I know we all have, people that provide good perspective for us. And it's, I went to church twice this week, not because I'm nervous about what's going to happen, but just because that's where I serve and where I choose to be a minister, so to speak. But it's, church attendance has fallen off. It's not going to not be good for the churches.
I bet you see Sunday, many churches just cancel,
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise you if the news continues to be kind of where it's at or even get worse. Because we've had, six presumed cases, I think they're calling it, in Arkansas. They've already canceled school already officially in four counties in Arkansas, including Pulaski, including Saline, which are two of the more populated counties in our state, Pulaski being, the most populated county in Arkansas. Grant and Jefferson, I believe, are the four. It's not going to stop there.
Other school districts are planning. You may hear today that they've given their students work to take home for next week, and then they've got spring break and then work for the week follow. So they won't lose any school time by doing that. It's okay by the education department, and I know a little bit about this because one of my daughters she's a teacher in Rogers and works in administration. So they're planning and have done that, and it's it was set up that kind of a system for snow days, where you think you're going to be out for a week or with weather, but it's perfect for this. And we just all hope that a 2-3-4 week blip is what we have, and then we get on with our lives. And But we don't, like you said, Tommy and Ty, we don't really know. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how long that ESPN is just going to have people talking about games instead of there are games. But this is the time of year where at least one of our TV has stuff that I want to watch. And it's, you know, it's basketball games. Or if I want to try to watch James McCann play with the Chicago White Sox and the Cactus League, I can do that. I can search around on some of my channels and do that. But then the other TV has got stuff. Yeah, well, they have. That's what I was getting at. And then my wife is watching Project Runway. Oh, please.
Yikes.
That's... You know, that's I can't do that.
It's worse than it's bad as The Bachelor, having to watch The Bachelor.
Easy.
Well, we do that too. And I say we because if it's in, depending on what room it is, I can't get away from it. we've watched that, and you know, I can do The Voice, I can do some of the other stuff, but it's you know, it was like yesterday. I was planning to my date. To watch basketball, to watch the Razorbacks play, you know, and play South Carolina. And it's all set for that. But I tell you, I just couldn't believe that they're playing a game, St. John's and Creighton, and they stopped it at halftime. What's that about? I mean, that's the fear. I never would have dreamed you'd stop a game in the middle of it.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Well, let's go to the phone lines where our buddy Lane Whitman is waiting to talk Oaklawn this week. And Lane, good morning. How are you on a Friday?
I'm doing good on a Friday the 13th. Oakland looks like it's the only game in town now, so everybody's going to have to get ready for a big weekend at Oakland. It's something to watch on TV for all the sports fans that no longer have sports.
All right, so let's go over things at Oakland. Races are still going to happen, but spectators at the races are not going to be allowed. The casino is going to remain open. And if you're an Arkansas resident, you can get the Oakland Anywhere app. Go to oakland.com and get that, and you can still watch and wager on the races from home. It's a big weekend with Rebel Stakes, but, Lane, this is going to be very odd. I guess it'll be a scene like you see at a lot of tracks around America. Not very many spectators at the track, and it'll be none at Oakland. This happens in other places, but Oakland normally has great crowds. This will be a very surreal setting at Oakland starting today.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine that is the video coordinator over there at Oakland, and of course, he'll be there filming things, and that's what he was saying last night when I was talking to him, is that he's going to be one of the few people there, and I told him that he'd be living like a king. It looks like they're all racing for him. But this is the protocol at Gulfstream, at Turfway Park in Kentucky, at Santa Anita out in California, at Fairgrounds down in the New Orleans area. There's no crowds, but the races are going to go on. That was what has happened in Hong Kong, in Dubai, where you know the coronavirus has spread before it came to the United States. The horse races still did run over there. We'll see how going forward if Oakland still has the races, but that's what it's looking like. It's going to be the case.
All right, this segment brought to you by Calico County, just off Rogers Avenue behind Randall Ford, and by 10 Strike Racing. So we're going to update you on what's going to happen because it's still a huge card Saturday. Essex Handicap, the Azari, and, of course, the Rebel Stakes, all still on, and people can watch on their phones and online to these three big races. Give us a quick handicap on the three big ones, and particularly the Rebel Stakes.
Yeah, this starts in the eighth race tomorrow. It races 8, 9, and 10 are the three big ones. The eighth race is the 72nd running of the Essex Handicap, $350,000 for horses running a mile and a 16th. This looks to be a very good race on paper to me, highlighted by a pair from the Steve Asmussen barn in Bank It and Snapper Sinclair. There's seven horses in this race, and just glancing through things last night, I have not dove into the past performances yet, but I think just looking at it, five of these horses I think can win. It is going to be a very good betting race. with if you have five of seven horses that have a legit shot to win. There's one that's 30-1, another one that's 15-1 that maybe can't get there, but everybody else, it looks to be in the 3-1 to 9-2 range, and it looks to be a good race to start off the big three races. The next is the ninth race, the Aziri Stakes, the 34th running, another $350,000 on the line. This is for fillies and mares at a mile and 16th, another seven-horse field. And this one is led by the 2019 Kentucky Oaks winner, Serengeti Empress, from the barn of trainer Tom Amos. It's got some tough competition in here, but from another one from the Steve Asmussen barn and Lady Apple, who was third in last year's Kentucky Oaks, and an emerging star in the horse named Street Band from trainer Larry Jones. So I think it's a three-horse race between those, another competitive race for the $350,000. And then we get to the main event, the 10th race, the 60th running of the Rebel Stakes, $1 million on the line for the first time, and a mile 16th with 85 points on the line for the Kentucky Derby, with 50 points going to the winner. You got to start looking at the favorite. Bob Baffert brings in Nadal to Hot Springs from his Santa Anita home base as the favorite, but I don't think this horse is unbeatable. He's 2-for-2 in his life with wins at 6.5 and 7 furlongs. He's traveling for the first time in his life. He's running around two turns for the first time in his life, and facing some really, really good competition in Silver Prospector, winner of the Southwest on President's Day at Oaklawn, and his barn mate Basin, making his season debut. Both these horses are under the care of trainer Steve Asmussen. Basin was last seen running 7 furlongs in the Grade One hopeful at Saratoga last summer, winning that race, and he had a little leg issue. He's raring to go now, healed up, and he's going to have a big chance in this race, along with the horse I've been waiting to see run again since his runner-up in the Smarty Jones Stakes on opening day, and that's 3 Technique. If you remember, this is the horse owned by the football coach Bill Parcells. He looked like he wanted more ground in that Smarty Jones Stakes on opening day. As he was coming on toward the end, he gets that extra ground today. And I like his chances here. I think he's like 9-2 on the morning line. Bottom line, this is a very good race, as it should be, for a $1 million purse and the Kentucky Derby points that are on the line.
All right, might be all the sports we have for this weekend. Langing, find his Lang's predictions and picks online at the Railbird333 on Twitter. Get a hold of him for that. Lang, we'll talk to you next week. We appreciate the insight, and I guess we'll all be watching online.
All right, good to talk to you guys as always.
Yesterday, we had requested Hunter Yurcheck to join us on the show, and it didn't look like he was going to have the time to do that. He is connected with us and going to join us in the next segment. So, guys, we're going to have a chance to talk to Arkansas's AD, who was in the room when it all went down and the decisions were made at the SEC tournament. And there's a lot of questions I know that all of us have for Hunter this morning. He's taken some time. We appreciate that. He's going to join us in about 6 minutes or so here on the show.
Yeah, his job is about as busy as anyone, in not only just in sports, but in the country right now, with all these athletic directors, the commissioners, and the decisions they're going to have to be making moving forward. So hopefully we'll get some good insight on from him about what he thinks about the future of not only Arkansas sports, but SEC moving forward.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
All right, let's go right to the phone lines as we welcome in Hunter Yurcheck, athletic director at the University of Arkansas. Hunter, I know what a last week it's been for you, so I appreciate it. And we all appreciate the listeners, as well as Tommy and Clay, you making some time for us.
Ty, Tommy and Clay, how are you guys doing this morning?
We've been better, I'd probably say, is the sentiment around here. But I'm assuming you've been better as well. I know this is probably the most difficult time you face as an athletic director or just in work in any capacity. Hunter, what is the most important and difficult task that you're facing as the athletic director at the University of Arkansas right now?
Just making sure we're taking care of our student-athletes. You know, we've got a lot of student-athletes, not only here at Arkansas, you asked specifically about Arkansas, but across this country that are dealing with something they never thought they would deal with, and we're not really sure how to help them deal with that. And a lot of raw emotion, I'm not sure it has sunk in for our senior student-athletes, for student-athletes that thought they would be competing for conference and national championships, that have worked so tremendously hard for their sports. And so it's just that taking care of them, especially now mentally, and what our student-athletes are going with. I mean, the decisions we've made over the last 48 hours, those have been a challenge, of course. But the difficulty now moving forward is how do we make sure that our student-athletes are well taken care of, especially that mental piece right now.
Put it in perspective what it was like being in the room. We've heard Greg Sankey talk about being in the room with you and your fellow ADs and these decisions. He gave us his perspective. What was it like for you? What do you remember from those meetings with the ADs when y'all were making these brutally tough decisions in Nashville?
Well, first and foremost, Commissioner Sankey and the leadership he demonstrated during the last 48 to 72 hours has been incredible. I mean, he really kept us all 14 member institutions on the same page. We'd made decisions collectively as a conference, not individually as institutions. We announced those decisions collectively as a conference. He has great relationships with the other Power Five conference commissioners. He was in communication with them, providing that communication with us. He was an incredible leader during a very difficult and challenging time for us. And I can't thank him enough for that.
Baseball. We've had a lot of questions about why the decision to cancel the College World Series in June when it's March. And I think there's some uncertainty about what the future is for sports like baseball and softball. Can you clear that up for us this morning, what the future is for those sports?
Guys, I'm the athletic director at the University of Arkansas, and I know as much about that decision as you guys know. I have absolutely no idea why that decision was made, in my opinion, in haste, why it was communicated the way it was through a press release. I found out when my plane landed from Nashville yesterday afternoon. I didn't have an opportunity to talk to any of our spring sport coaches. I did not have an opportunity to make that announcement to any of our spring sports student athletes. I'm really disappointed, not necessarily in the decision, but how that decision for spring sports that occur in May and June, how that information was disseminated from the NCAA. Again, I'm an AD at a Power Five institution. And I would think that I would have found that information out in a timely fashion to be able to communicate with our coaches and our student athletes, but I didn't. And I don't even know that Commissioner Sankey at this point in time knows exactly why that decision was made. Very disappointed in the leadership of the NCAA. I get men's and women's basketball, indoor track and field, swimming, gymnastics. Those were imminent championships that had to be dealt with. Not sure why the decision was made in such haste for our spring sports and why it was communicated the way it was.
Hunter, this is Clay. Would you give us a feel for what you think might happen with spring football?
I can't right now. I'm going to meet with our head coaches here later this morning. We're having a meeting. There's a university group that's meeting right now that has been meeting on a regular basis about the health and well-being of our campus community. And we'll make some decisions moving forward. I mean, we have spring break that starts technically on Friday, but now that we've gone to online classes starting on Monday, Clay, it's a very fluid situation. Best case scenario for spring football is, and I'll say best case scenario, I said one scenario would be that we begin spring football next week as scheduled, then we're going to go on spring break, and then we will probably take some type of break when our student athletes get back from spring break of 2 weeks, because they're going to scatter. Right now we have them in somewhat of a controlled environment, and as we know it now, there's not any cases of the coronavirus on our campus. But then we're going to send them off to spring break. They're going to go to various places around our state and our country. Then they're going to come back, and that's when it really gets a little bit hairy, where they're leaving that controlled environment and then coming back here. So
you think there will be spring practice? That's in Commissioner Sankey hasn't told you.
Yeah.
That they're going to block
what I will
y'all
tell you
it.
Is that they. we were given the autonomy, and it's really the only thing we've had autonomy to do from conference member institutions to make our own decisions from campus to campus regarding practices and workouts, not just for football, but for all of our teams. Obviously, with the cancellation of the spring sports championships, if we carry through with that as member institutions in the SEC, and that's still yet to be determined how we handle spring sports, obviously not a great reason for spring sports to be practicing if there's nothing to play for. Your fall sports, soccer, volleyball, football, this is a time of year where they're normally training and preparing for the fall. Is that the right thing to do at this point in time? I can't say whether it is or is it. And again, a decision that we may have at 9 o'clock this morning may change by noon because that's how fluid this has been for us, especially over the last 72 hours.
We're talking with Hunter Yurecek here on the Morning Rush. Hunter, I know one of the things that Greg Sankey was asked yesterday in the press conference was about eligibility. Would you be in support of athletes that are affected this year in getting an extra year of eligibility?
Absolutely, especially our spring sports student athletes. I mean, most of them are just starting their season. You know, our baseball, softball programs are just getting into the SEC season. Now, you've got to weigh that. That's not only giving an extra year of eligibility, but we've got to change roster sizes because you've got some incoming freshman student athletes next year that have signed national letters of intent, and they're going to be in your roster, and that would push your roster numbers up. So there's going to have to be some legislation that allows not only the extra year of eligibility that I would be supportive of for those senior student athletes, but also some roster size increases for a year because you also don't want to hurt those student athletes that are going to join your teams next year that have signed their national letter of intent as well.
So, Hunter, a lot of businesses are going to be affected by not only in sports, but just outside of sports. How is this going to impact the University of Arkansas and the athletic department financially?
That's a great question, and we're starting to process some numbers. And so, obviously, we're going to refund tickets for baseball and softball that have been pre-sold for any of the games that are canceled. So there's a financial implication that, and then you have some concessions and things that will lose some revenue that we have projected. But on the other side of that equation, there's some expense savings. Obviously, we're not going to be chartering teams around the country for competition for the remainder of the spring. The recruiting's going to cease for the time being. And so there'll be some expense savings as well. We hope that will offset some of the revenues that we are going to lose and forfeit as we refund money back to our patrons that have purchased tickets for events that have been canceled.
You know, everyone's going to worst case scenarios and kind of that's the fear that's gripped all of us right now. That's a hard thing to lead through with your staff, and I'm sure your coaches and your support staff. What's the most difficult thing for you right now? You mentioned earlier about the safety of staff and students, but as you work your way through it as the leader of the athletic department, what are you finding most difficult here in these last 72 hours or so?
I'm not a medical professional. That's what's the most difficult. I'm trying to make decisions with our staff and with our head coaches and with our fellow conference members based on really third-party medical knowledge. And you're trying to look into a crystal ball and determine what you think is best and do so without really pressing a panic button because, you know, as so many of us want to go, I mean, life – as we know it, it's kind of ceased to exist for the next 30, 60 days, and especially for those of us in college athletics and that just love just sports in general. You just look, all the professional leagues have stopped, the colleges have stopped, and so just looking into the crystal ball and putting together a plan is very difficult because, I mean, I will tell you, we sat in a conference room in Nashville as athletic directors, and I think every hour on Wednesday, a plan and a press release that we had ready to go changed, and it evolved. And I think this is going to continue to happen for us over the next several weeks.
Hunter, do you tell your athletes might be good to stay around here for the next couple of weeks, you know, instead of the spring break trips?
I would encourage them to do that, but again, it's difficult for me as a non-medical professional to tell them what I think's best. I mean, I'm going to, you know, lean on, I think this is a time where parents of student athletes need to jump in and really help their sons and daughters understand what they think is best for them, and that, you know, decisions for their sons and daughters. It's quite a burden for myself and our coaches to bear. You know, obviously we're in a controlled environment here, we believe. I mean, we do a great job. Our staff does a great job cleaning and sanitizing all of our locker rooms and the weight rooms and our training rooms. And that was before the coronavirus came to be. And so, you know, if you go home and you're going to go home and work out at a local gym or fitness facility, your old high school gym, are those going to be a safe of environment as we've created for our student athletes here at the University of Arkansas? I don't think so. But again, I mean, those are decisions that our student athletes and their families probably need to make.
Hunter, I appreciate the fact that the first thing we asked you, you directed towards the student athletes, and I appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. As difficult as it's been for you the last week and so many others, I know that time is precious, so thanks for making some for us on the Morning Rush.
Ty, Tommy, and Clay, thank you for having me on. Thank you for your support, and I guess we'll all find something to talk about over the next 30 to 60 days, won't we?
And hey, and as information changes, you're welcome back any day, every day, to kind of keep the fan base updated. We'd love to have you.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
You as well.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.